this week. We have a very special episode for all of you, and that is the case because I will be reviewing three different films. I'll be reviewing DC League of Super Pets, Bullet Train, and Prey. That said, this whole episode is going to be accompanied by music from the films DC League of Super Pets and Bullet Train. But before I jump into my reviews and before I let you all know what I thought about these films, I will first begin by thanking Warner Bros. Canada. From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for inviting us to a press screening for DC League of Super Pets. It truly means a lot. It was a great experience. We had a lot of fun. So thank you, Warner Bros. Canada, for inviting us to this press screening. Now, before I give you all my thoughts about this film, let's go into our first musical break and let's go listen to a song from DC League of Super Pets. And this song is You're My Best Friend by Queen. And here it is.
Looking to get a reliable and affordable used bike? Need a repair or service to your current ride?
Come to the Bike Kitchen, UBC's full-service community bike shop, located in room 36 of the UBC Life building. Our hours are Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
If you buy a bike from us, bring it back when you're done using it, and we'll give you half of your money back, as long as you took care of it. If it needs repairs, we'll split the cost with you.
Yep, you heard us right. We'll give you crisp dollar bills for half the original price of any used bike that you buy from us, minus the cost of repairs.
For more information about our buyback policy and to stay up to date on any COVID-19 inspired changes, find us online at thebikekitchen.com.
Welcome back to Take One. This is your host, Juan Pablo Sa, talking to you from CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I hope you enjoyed that musical break, but now it is time to jump into our first review of the day, and that is a review of DC League of Super Pets. So DC League of Super Pets follows Crypto the Superdog and his super-powered friends as they try to rescue the Justice League from the grasps of an evil, bold villain. For those of you who don't know, Crypto the Superdog is Superman's dog. And before I give you all my thoughts about this film, I would like to once again thank Warner Bros. Canada for inviting us to a press screening for this film. It was a great experience, we had a lot of fun, and from the bottom of my heart, it means a lot. So thank you, Warner Bros. Canada. Now, when it comes to my thought about this film, I thought it was fine. I thought it was good enough. You know, I guess the best way I could phrase it is this film is exactly what you would expect from an animated movie called DC League of Super Pets. And when it comes to the story of this film, it is serviceable. You know, there is nothing wrong about the story, but there's not much great either. You know, it is fine. It is what it is. That said, if I were to point out something that I do feel was a bit weak about the story of this movie is... okay, so there is a secondary conflict in this film. So, you know, the first conflict of this film is the fact that the Justice League got kidnapped, and then Crypto and the other super pets need to go rescue the Justice League. But then there's also a second conflict that is added very early in the film. And the second conflict is about the fact that Crypto, the Superdog, is jealous of Lois Lane because now Clark Kent slash Superman is spending a lot of time with Lois Lane and is not spending much time with him. So, you know, Crypto gets all jealous. My point is, I really don't think that second conflict was that necessary, if I'm being honest. It wasn't that interesting, they didn't do much with it, and what they did with it, it just wasn't that original, you know? It was fine, it wasn't like terrible, but yeah, it just didn't feel necessary. And when it comes to the characters, I thought Dwayne The Rock Johnson was fine as Crypto the Superdog. You know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he has a lot of charisma, he's a very charismatic actor, so, you know, of course he's gonna do a good job voicing the character of Crypto the Superdog. That said, one thing that I need to point out is it is a bit weird that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is now playing two different characters in the current DCEU. You know, of course, he's playing Crypto the Superdog here in DC League of Super Pets, but he's also playing Black Adam in the, you know, forthcoming Black Adam film. And I know they're set in different universes, so I know it doesn't matter. Still, it does feel a bit weird that he's voicing and playing two different characters in the DC universe. You know, honestly, the best way I could describe it is it feels as if Chris Pratt, who, you know, of course, Chris Pratt plays Star-Lord in the Guardians of the Galaxy films for Marvel. It feels as if Chris Pratt would just, you know, suddenly voice Rocket Raccoon in an episode of What If. Like, technically it is fine, because, you know, the What If episodes are alternate universes not tied to the main MCU, but still, it would feel a bit weird. That being said, considering the amount of voice acting roles that Chris Pratt has been getting in the past couple of years, I wouldn't put it past him if he ends up voicing Rocket in a future episode of What If. Now, the next character that I would like to discuss is Kevin Hart as Ace, and when it comes to Kevin Hart as Ace, I thought he was fine. You know, he has some funny lines, but, you know, that is expected, because, of course, it is Kevin Hart. That being said, if I'm being completely honest, I was expecting a bit more from the Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Kevin Hart combo. Like, you know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Kevin Hart, they have so much chemistry in real life. They are really good at improvisation. And honestly, like, you can just look at any interview with Kevin Hart and Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and you'll instantly see the amount of chemistry in between these two people. You know, it is funny, it is charming, you know, it is improvisational, it is really, really cool. And I don't know, I guess in this film, the chemistry just wasn't there to the same level, at least for me. You know, I guess the best way I could describe it is, you know, the chemistry between Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Kevin Hart in this film felt very restrained. You know, it felt like they were sticking to the script, that they were reading the lines, but there wasn't really that much room for improvisation. At least that's how it felt. That said, the one thing that I really did like about the character of Ace is his backstory. You know, there is one scene where Ace is talking to Crypto and he tells him his backstory and everything that led to him ending up in a rescue shelter. And that scene is really heartfelt. You know, it is pretty emotional and I really like it. So that scene was actually pretty freaking good. Now, when it comes to the rest of the super pets, I honestly don't have much to say. They're fine. Once again, they're serviceable. They do their job. But there's not really that much exceptional about any of them. That said, there is one of the super pets that I do have to highlight, and that is the turtle. I think her name was Merton in the film, I'm not really that sure, but yeah, the turtle was really freaking funny. I won't spoil the joke, but there is a joke that keeps coming back over and over again with the turtle that really made me laugh, and yeah, I just wasn't expecting it. I wasn't expecting this children film called DC League of Super Pets to have this joke. And yeah, that was really cool. I like the turtle. That being said, the best thing about this movie is by far Keanu Reeves as Batman. Holy shit. Keanu Reeves is the Batman that I never knew I needed. And, you know, don't get me wrong, Keanu Reeves as Batman, his character is not really that much in the film. But when he's in the film, he really freaking steals the show. So yeah, Batman was great in this film. And the reason why Batman worked so well in this film is, yes, of course, because Keanu Reeves is a very talented actor and, you know, he has a very iconic voice. But the other reason why the character of Batman works so well in this film is because the writing for Batman is actually quite clever. You know, there are some very funny jokes throughout the film, poking fun at Batman and his lore, and all of those jokes landed and really made me laugh watching the movie. And honestly, the fact that the Batman writing is strong in this film comes to no surprise, because the writers for this film worked on the Lego Batman movie. And, you know, the Lego Batman movie is a film that I consider to be very funny, and is a movie that I think poked fun at the Batman lore in very funny ways. So yeah, it comes to no surprise that the writing for Batman is great in this film, and if I'm being honest, Keanu Reeves as Batman is the best thing of this film, by far. So in conclusion, DC League of Super Pets, it's fine. You know, apart from Keanu Reeves as Batman, there is not much in this film that is truly great. But there's not much in this film that is bad either. You know, the story is fine, the characters are fine, the villain is fine, the visuals are fine, the comedy is fine, this film is fine. If I were to give it a score between 1 and 10, I would give it a 6 out of 10, which means I think this film is good. It's fine. It's serviceable. And that is it for my review of DC League of Super Pets. But now, before I jump into my next review, a review of Bullet Train, it is time to go into our second musical break. Let's go listen to Let's Work Together by Canned Heat. And here it is.
Together we will stand, every boy, every girl, and a man. Interested in making radio? How about hosting your own show? At CITR, you can make your radio dreams come true by joining a collective. From news, art, sports, to gender empowerment, accessibility, music, and the BIPOC collective, there's definitely something for everyone. Explore new worlds both virtually and at our station, and be prepared to have a blast with some new pals. For more information or to join, please visit citr.ca/get involved.
Welcome back to Take One. This is your host, Juan Pablo Sa, talking to you from CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I hope you enjoyed that musical break, but now it is time to jump into our second review of the day, and that is a review of Bullet Train. So Bullet Train is an ensemble piece that follows different assassins aboard a bullet train as they discover that they may be more connected to one another than they thought. Of course, one of these assassins is Brad Pitt's character, who in this film is called Ladybug. And, you know, my general thoughts about this film is I thought this movie was really freaking great. And I know I'm in the minority. I know most people think this film is mediocre or just good at best. But it really worked for me. I don't know what to say. I thought this film was really, really freaking great. So I would like to begin by talking about the things that I really liked about this film. And the first thing that I would like to mention is the story. Because I really like the story. And yes, it is convoluted. Yes, it is messy. But it is messy and convoluted in the best way possible. It is intentionally messy and convoluted. Now, what do I mean by this? Okay, when I describe the story as convoluted, what I mean is that there is a lot going on in this film. You know, for example, there are many different characters, each with their unique backstories, motivations, and goals. That's what I mean by convoluted. There's a lot going on. There are many different characters. There are many different motives. There are many different backstories. And by messy, what I mean by messy is that this is a non-linear story. And the film is constantly cutting away two flashbacks. So yeah, the film is very chaotic. It is very convoluted and messy. But once again, I think that is a good thing. And you may be wondering, how can the fact that the story of this film is convoluted and messy, how can that be a good thing? And the reason why I think it's a good thing is because this film is meant to feel like a spider web of connections. You know, it is meant to feel like this intricate net of people where everyone is related. The best thing of this film, my favorite thing of Bullet Train, is seeing how all of these different characters are more connected to one another than they thought. And that is why I think it is crucial and essential that the film starts off so convoluted and so messy. Because this film and the structure of this story, it's all about making order out of chaos. You know, you have this very chaotic yarn full of different characters with different motivations and different backstories. And it is very chaotic, it is very messy, it is very tangled. But by the end of the film, when you realize what each of the characters are doing there and how it's all related, you suddenly realize that all of that convolutedness and messiness was for something. And the best way I could put it is this film, Bullet Train, reminded me a lot of some of the best Guy Ritchie films. You know, it reminded me of Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. It reminded me of Snatch. It reminded me of The Gentlemen. All three of those films are incredibly convoluted and messy, but in the best way possible. All three of those films have many different characters with unique backstories, motivations, and goals, and they all tell stories in non-linear, messy ways. But once again, they work. Now, just to be clear, I don't think that Bullet Train is as good as those Guy Ritchie films. All that I'm saying is that the story and structure of Bullet Train reminded me a lot of those sort of movies. So if you like those types of movies, I don't know. Maybe give Bullet Train a chance. Now, the next thing that I would like to mention when it comes to things that I really liked about this film is the action. Because the action in this movie is really freaking great. And once again, that comes to no surprise because one of the studios behind the action of this film is 87 North Productions. Which, for those of you who don't know, 87 North Productions is the studio behind John Wick 1, 2, and 3, Atomic Blonde, and Nobody. So of course the action is going to be great, because the action in all of those movies is really freaking amazing. And yeah, the action in this film is not only great because the choreography and stunts are amazing, but it is also great because the fight scenes themselves are extremely, extremely funny. And that brings me to my next point, and that is the humor, the comedy. Bullet Train is a very funny film. The dialogue is very funny, the physical comedy is very funny, and this film is just full of great comedic moments. You know, for instance, you know, you have a fight in this film that is interrupted by a concession girl, which I thought was really freaking funny. You have another fight that takes place in a quiet car, which I thought allowed for some great slapstick, you know, and some great gags. You also have some very funny moments of people using dead bodies as puppets and, you know, posing them as if they were still alive. Those moments really made me laugh. And then you also have this random moment in the middle of nowhere where, you know, the film just stops and they just give you the backstory of a water bottle. So you see what I mean? This film is full with really funny moments and, you know, if I'm being honest, some very clever jokes. Now that I'm in the topic of humor and of things that really made me laugh, I must highlight the surprise cameos in this film. Because the surprise cameos in this movie are really freaking amazing. Of course, I won't mention them, I won't tell you who these people are because that would be a spoiler, but I'm just telling you, try your best to avoid spoilers because these cameos are really freaking funny. And another thing that really made me laugh was the mid-credit scene. Yes, there is a mid-credit scene in this film. Don't miss it. Don't leave the theater until you watch the mid-credit scene because it is really funny and it ties things together even better. That being said, by far the funniest thing of this film are two characters played by Brian Tyree Henry and Aaron Taylor Johnson, and those characters are Lemon and Tangerine. Holy sh! Lemon and Tangerine are really freaking hilarious. Their action scenes are funny, their character interactions are funny, and their conversations about Thomas the Tank Engine are really, really freaking funny. And yes, I'm not even kidding. This film is filled to the brim with conversations about Thomas the freaking Tank Engine. And I loved it. And that brings me to my next point when it comes to things that I really liked about Bullet Train, and those things are some of the characters. Once again, Lemon and Tangerine are absolutely amazing. They completely stole the show. And what I love the most about these characters is just how fresh and original they feel. You know, these characters have so many unique quirks and like unique little things that make them instantly memorable and, yeah, very, very original. You know, these are quirks, such as the fact that these characters are called the Tweens, even though they look nothing alike. And also quirks, such as the fact that Lemon is completely, absolutely obsessed with Thomas the Tank Engine. That's amazing. That's comedy gold right there. So yeah, Lemon and Tangerine are really freaking great. And if I'm being honest, I could have seen an entire film focused just on them. That being said, Lemon and Tangerine are not the only great characters in this film. And of course, I have to mention Brad Pitt as Ladybug. Because Brad Pitt killed it in this film. His action scenes were great, his comedy was great, his lines were great, his dialogue was great. And yeah, I think part of the reason why I really liked Brad Pitt's character is because Brad Pitt is extremely likable. He oozes charisma. And if I'm being honest, every single one of his line deliveries was on point. So yeah, I liked Ladybug, I really freaking liked this character, and it really freaking worked. Hiroyuki Sanada as the Elder was another great character. You know, this character is an absolute badass, and every time that you saw him on screen, you knew that shit was about to go down. Also, Hiroyuki Sanada, there's a special quality about him, but he's always able to bring gravitas to any film he's in. I don't know what it is, but his performances and, you know, his line delivery, he always does it with such seriousness and such professionalism that, yeah, once again, it brings gravitas. It elevates the film, I guess. So yeah, I love Hiroyuki Sanada and I really like this character. And the last character that I would like to highlight is Michael Shannon as the White Death. I have to be completely honest, ever since I met Michael Shannon in 2019's Cartagena International Film Festival, I can't help but smile every time that I see him in a film. It's just inevitable. You know, I was watching Bullet Train, and there was Michael Shannon being a badass as a White Death. But meanwhile, in my head, all I could think about is, I shook his hand. Hell yeah. So yeah, Michael Shannon kills it. You know, even though I met him and that makes me biased, Michael Shannon absolutely kills it. And he once again proves that he is really freaking great at playing imposing and menacing characters. Now, that is enough praise for Bullet Train. It is now time for me to talk about some of the mixed aspects of the film, some of the things that really didn't work that well for me. And, you know, one of my main complaints is that there are some characters that are just completely wasted. And if I'm being honest, the character that I think is wasted the most is Karen Fukuhara as the train concession girl. What an absolute waste of Karen Fukuhara. You know, for those of you who have seen The Boys, you are familiar with Karen Fukuhara's work, because Karen Fukuhara, she plays Kimiko in The Boys, and she absolutely kills it. You know, in The Boys, she demonstrates that she's extremely charismatic, that she's a great actress, but also that she can handle badass action scenes. So honestly, when I first started hearing of Bullet Train, when I saw the first trailer and when I saw the first poster, and I saw Karen Fukuhara as a concession girl, I instantly got very freaking excited. And yeah, I instantly assumed that she was going to end up being one of the assassins. You know, I thought she was going to be an assassin in disguise, you know, dressing up as a concession girl, but she was going to join the fight and she was going to have some badass action scenes. But no, she's really just a concession girl. And yeah, that was a bit disappointing, because what a waste of Karen Fukuhara. Now, another character that I felt was a bit wasted was Sassy Beats and her character. You know, I won't go into detail into who her character is, because, you know, I'm not going into spoilers. But yeah, if I'm being honest, I feel they could have done a lot more with Sassy Beats' character. I feel like, you know, she was set up as, you know, this very important piece that is bringing everyone together on this train. But she ends up not being that important, I guess. And yeah, it was just a bit disappointing how they dealt with that character. Now, the last character that I felt was a bit wasted in this film is Bad Bunny as the Wolf. And don't get me wrong, he is great in all the scenes he's in. The problem is that he's not in that many scenes, if I'm being honest. And that is a problem, because the film's advertisement has sold his character as if he was one of the most important characters in this film. There's literally an official poster for Bullet Train where he is the second biggest character apart from Brad Pitt. And that is a problem, because he's barely in the film. So yeah, I felt like this character was a bit wasted. So those are all the characters that I felt were a bit wasted in this film, but there is one character that didn't quite work for me, if I'm being honest. And that character is Joey King as the Prince. While most other characters in this film instantly stood out and, you know, had original quirks and unique quirks that made them, you know, instantly noticeable and instantly memorable, I felt like Joey King's character was a bit generic. Apart from that, I thought her motivations and backstory were a bit iffy at best. And her character does something before the movie even begins that I felt was never fully explained. By the end of the film, they never truly explained it, and yeah, that it didn't quite work for me, if I'm being honest. Now, when it comes to other things that I feel didn't work that well in this film, I have to mention the fact that in the third act, this film becomes a bit too unrealistic. Like, in a way, it sort of works, because I get that this film is all about people being extremely lucky or extremely unlucky. This is a film that is all about, you know, fate and karma and stuff like that. So, in a way, some of the unrealistic stuff that happens in this film could be explained by the fact that this is a film all about luck and all about coincidences. That said, I feel like in the third act, they pushed that a bit too much. It just became a bit too unrealistic, even considering the fact that this film is entirely about fate and about luck. But yeah, they pushed it a bit too far. So in conclusion, Bullet Train is not a perfect film, but it is an extremely fun ride. It is intentionally convoluted in the best way possible, and most of the characters in this film are so quirky and unique that it is a blast to spend time with them. If I were to give this film a score in between 1 and 10, I would give it an 8 out of 10, which means I think this film was great. And that is it for our review of Bullet Train. It is now time to jump into our third review of the day, and that is a review of Prey. That being said, before I give you all my thoughts, let's go into another musical break, and let's go listen to a Japanese cover of Staying Alive by Avu-chan. And here it is.
Okay, with me, no.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
Welcome back to Take One. This is your host, Juan Pablo Sá, talking to you from CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I hope you enjoyed that musical break, but now it is time to jump into our third and final review of the day, and that is a review of Prey. So Prey is the newest entry in the Predator franchise, and it is actually a prequel to 1987's Predator. This film follows Naru, a skilled female Comanche warrior, as she hunts down the Predator, while it simultaneously hunts her. Now, when it comes to the general thoughts about this film, I thought this movie was very, very good. I don't think it's as good as the original Predator film, but I do think it's the second best movie in the entire franchise. So I'll begin by talking about the things that I really liked about this film, and the first thing that I really freaking liked is the setting. You know, this film is set 300 years ago in the Comanche Nation, and this is a setting that I really liked for three different reasons. You know, I like this setting because, you know, first of all, there are not many mainstream films told from the perspective of Native American people, so it is really cool to see this. You know, it is really cool to see them in the forefront, you know, being the leads of a Predator movie. That is pretty freaking cool. The second reason why I really like this setting is because it gives some freshness to the Predator franchise. You know, we've had so many Predator films where people are fighting Predators with machine guns and grenades, you know, where they are fighting them with modern weapons, and it is really refreshing to see something new. It is really refreshing to see a Native Americans fighting a Predator with bows and arrows, spears, axes and traps, you know, no machine guns, no explosions, no grenades. It is really refreshing, and I thought it was really freaking cool. And that brings me to my main concern coming into this film. And my main concern coming into this movie is, if Arnold Schwarzenegger struggled to defeat a Predator with machine guns and grenades, I had no idea how a Native American could ever stand a chance. And honestly, I'm not going to say how, I'm not going to spoil it because this is a spoiler-free review, but I believe the film came up with some very clever ways for the protagonist to fight the Predator. You know, I felt like the script came up with some very clever reasons as to why this character is able to fight the Predator in the first place. So even though I had this concern coming into this film, that proved not to be a problem, and I actually quite liked it. Now, the third reason why I thought this setting was great is because it brings the Predator back to what it's meant to be. You know, Predator works best when it is a simple, small-scale story about a single human fighting a Predator. The Predator doesn't need to be fighting an army. He doesn't need to be set loose in the city. He doesn't need to be fighting xenomorphs. You just need one person fighting a Predator. That is good enough. That is intense enough. Predators work best when you have a simple story of a man and a predator hunting each other, fighting to see which of them will be the prey and which of them will be the predator. And that's exactly what this film does. You have a human and a predator hunting each other, and it is great. Now, when it comes to other things that I really liked about this film is I thought the characters were very good. Even though the relationship in between the protagonist and her brother was really great, and I like that relationship, my favorite relationship of the film, by far, has to be the one of the protagonist and her dog. What can I say? I love dogs, I miss my dog, I'm a huge dog person, and the dog in this film was really freaking great and very well trained. Holy that's an amazing dog actor. And the last thing that I would like to highlight when it comes to things that I really freaking liked about this film are some of the most artistic slash intellectual moments in this movie. You know, I felt like this film had some great artistic shots showing you the predator-prey dynamic in nature and, you know, showing you, like, the circle of life and how every single living being in this forest is part of this big thing called the circle of life. And these shots are also really freaking great because they also show you how the circle of life is completely destroyed and uprooted by the presence of the predator. The predator-prey dynamic is, of course, something very important to this film. After all, the film is called Prey, and the main villain is the predator. So I thought it was really clever to constantly show you scenes of the predator-prey dynamic in nature. I thought that was really freaking great. Now, when it comes to the intellectual aspects of this film, something that I really freaking liked is the similarities that the film draws in between the predator and colonizers. You know, in a way, I'm not going to spoil it, I'm not going to tell you how, but in a way, you could honestly read this film and you could honestly interpret the predator as a symbolic representation for colonialism and the effects that colonialism has on a self-sustaining environment. So yeah, I thought that was pretty clever. I came into this film expecting, like, you know, blood and guts and violence and action, and I ended up getting a film with all of the action and with all of that fun, you know, bloody stuff, but with also some intellectual and artistic, thoughtful things. So I really liked it. Now, there are some things that I didn't like about this film. That said, I won't be able to truly go into detail because those things that didn't quite work for me are spoilers, so I can't mention them. But out of the things that I can mention, I will say that the first half of this film, it is a bit too slow. You know, the first 40 minutes of this film can drag quite a bit. And the last 40 minutes are amazing. You know, the final fights, you know, the final bloody confrontations are really freaking great. But the first 40 minutes, they can drag. Just a bit. You know, they're fine, they're good, and, you know, they're developing the characters. But they do drag. Now, another thing that I didn't like that much about this film is the way in which the predator is dealt with by the end of the film. Once again, I'm not going to spoil it, but for me, at least, the way the predator was, you know, dealt with felt a bit cheap and a bit too easy, if I'm being honest. And now, the last thing that I have to say when it comes to things that didn't quite work for me when it comes to this film is the fact that some of the CGI, particularly when they do fully CG animals, some of that CGI didn't quite work. It was good, it was fine, but it wasn't great. So in conclusion, Prey is easily the best out of the Predator sequels slash prequels. It is a very good film that brings the Predator franchise back to where it belongs. If I were to give it a score in between 1 to 10, I would give it a 7 out of 10, which means I thought this film was very good. And that is it for our review of Prey, but now it is time to jump into our fourth and final musical break of the day, and we will go listen to another song from Bullet Train, and that is a Japanese cover of Holding Out for a Hero by Miki Asakura. And here it is.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Take One. This is your host, Juan Pablo Sada, talking to you from CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I hope you'll enjoy that musical break, but now it is time to say goodbye. Thank you all so much for tuning into this week's episode, and I'll see you all next week for reviews of Bodies, 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 Fall, The Sandman, and I Am Groot. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
We are the Jocelyn Pettit Band, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
You wake me up at night.